picture the scenario, right? Because, well, if you are a developer, or honestly just someone trying to manage any complex AI tool in your daily workflow, you have absolutely been here.
Yo, yeah, I mean, we all have.
Right. So it is late. You are tired. You gave your AI agent a perfectly reasonable task, and it went completely rogue.
Like it imported a module it definitely shouldn't have, or maybe just skipped the testing phase entirely.
Or it just ignored a core architectural rule of your project that you have told it like 100 times. So what do? You do what any logical human would do.
You open up the text file.
You open up that root instruction file. Maybe it is Claude.md or agents.s.md or, your custom cursor rules, and you type a very sternly worded sentence.
Oh, yeah. The classic never do this rule.
Right. You type never import adapters from the domain layer or always run the tests before claiming done, and you capitalize the never.
Because the capital letters will definitely make the AI listen, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you hit save, you feel this like sense of satisfaction, and you think, there, that will fix it. Well, welcome to another deep dive.
Glad to be here for this one.
Today, we are taking a hard look at why that exact reflex, trying to control AI by adding more words to a markdown file, is honestly the ultimate trap.
It is a trap that is incredibly easy to fall into, mostly because it feels so much like actual problem solving.
It really does.
Today, we are diving into a really insightful essay titled, "Your Agent.md is Not a Fence." It's part of the Agentic AI Thought series. And the core argument here is going to, I mean, it's going to completely upend how you think about AI governance.
Because the author argues that trying to enforce rules with plain text is just an illusion of control.
Exactly, an absolute illusion.
So our mission for this deep dive is to explore why this natural instinct is fundamentally flawed, and not just flawed, but actively harmful to your AI's performance.
Yeah, it actively makes things worse.
Yep.
Right. So whether you are building complex enterprise software or you are just starting to experiment with agentic workflows, understanding why prose is not enforcement will completely change how you interact with AI.
It is a total paradigm shift.
It is. And to start, I want you to wipe away whatever mental image you have of software architecture for a second. Instead, imagine walking into a massive multi-million dollar server room.
Okay, picturing it, lots of blinking lights, humming servers.
Right. But instead of locked doors or biometric scanners or hardwired firewalls, the only security system keeping the whole thing running is, well, thousands of neon sticky notes slapped onto the server racks.
Wow, just sticky notes.
Just sticky notes. And they all say things like, please do not reboot or be careful with this wire. That is essentially what we are doing when we write instruction files.
That is a terrifying visual, but it's accurate. And to understand why that sticky note server room is totally doomed, we have to look at what those markdown files actually are under the hood.
Because we want to treat them as rules.
Right. Our reflex is to treat them as rules.
Yeah.
But the uncomfortable fact, and I mean, this comes straight from the documentation of the labs building these models like Anthropic or OpenAI, is that instruction files are just context.
Just context.
Yeah. They are simply memory that gets loaded into the model's context window. They are not enforced rules.
Okay, let's unpack this because I think this is the main mental hurdle for people. Putting a must not in a markdown file has the exact same enforcement power as putting that sticky note on the server rack.
Exactly. Zero physical enforcement power.
Right. It is just a piece of paper. But wait, I have to push back here a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
Because we are always told that these new frontier models are, reasoning engines. I can literally watch them output their chain of thought on the screen.
Yeah, the thinking process is visible now.
So if a model is smart enough to write complex Python scripts, shouldn't it be smart enough to understand the concept of never do this? I mean, why does a reasoning engine fail to follow a direct imperative command?
Well, because underneath that chain of thought, it is still fundamentally a probabilistic system. It is not a traditional compiler.
Okay, what is the difference there, practically?
So a compiler sees a syntax error or a rule violation, and it physically halts, right? It throws a hard error and it just stops execution.
Right, physically can't proceed.
Exactly. But an LLM doesn't have a halt mechanism based on logic. When you feed it that markdown file, it takes your capitalized imperative command and calculates its mathematical weight against hundreds or thousands of other factors.
Oh, wow. So your rule is just like a soft preference.
It is entirely a soft preference.
So even if I write never do X,
Yeah.
the model translates that to, it is highly probable that the user would prefer if I didn't do X, but I'll weigh that against everything else going on.
That is exactly how the math works. And the essay points out that this suggestion might actually hold up when the agent is fresh, like right at the start of a session.
When it's not distracted yet.
Right. But then you introduce something the author calls context pressure.
Context pressure. I like that term.
It's crucial. Imagine the agent is, say, 3 tool calls deep into a massive code refactor. It is a bunch of new, highly relevant information loaded into its context window. It is holding a very complex plan in its working memory.
So it's juggling a lot.
Exactly. Under that kind of pressure, the attention mechanism of the AI has to prioritize.
Like, well, it's like putting a sticky note on the steering wheel telling a teenager not to speed.
Yes, exactly.
Like, sure, they see it when they first pull out of the driveway, but when they're late for a movie and their friends are in the backseat cheering them on, that's the context pressure.
Right. 100%.
A sticky note is just one tiny, easily ignored suggestion in a sea of much lighter inputs.
That analogy perfectly captures the dilution of attention. When an LLM juggles priorities under pressure, the soft preferences like your markdown rule from an hour ago are the mathematically most reliable things to get dropped.
They just fold right out of its brain.
Right. So if your README file says core must not import adapters, but there is absolutely nothing in the actual code base that fails when core imports adapters well, that is not a rule.
As the author brilliantly puts it, it is a wish with good grammar.
A wish with good grammar. I love that line.
And when you treat a wish like a rule, the inevitable consequence is that the agent will eventually do the forbidden thing. The prose will not physically stop it.
No, it won't.
And you will end up finding out in the code review, or worse, that mistake actually makes it into your production environment.
Which means we can't rely on the model to govern itself.
We just can't.
If the model physically cannot guarantee obedience because of its probabilistic nature, we have to look outside the model for enforcement.
We have to physically stop the teenager from speeding. So how do we actually do that? How do you keep an agent in line if polite, grammatically correct wishes don't do the job?
Well, the source says we have to build executable walls.
Executable walls. I want to transition that mental image for a second. We are leaving the sticky notes server room, and we are talking about building a solid, impenetrable brick fortress.
That's the goal. The fix is to make your load-bearing rules executable. You need a check that fails.
Okay, break that down for me.
Crucially, it has to be a check that is completely indifferent to the AI's confidence level, its chain of thought, or how persuasive your markdown prose was. It has to be a deterministic physical stop.
Let's ground this for anyone listening who might not be a back-end engineer. When we say executable walls, we are largely talking about automated checks in your continuous integration pipeline, or CI, right?
Exactly. CI pipelines.
Basically, it's a system that automatically tests your code before it is allowed to merge into the main project. So let's run through some specific examples from the essay.
Sounds good.
If your rule is the domain layer stays pure, no framework imports, you don't write that in Markdown. You turn it into a lint rule.
Yes. A lint rule is a literal piece of software that scans your code structure. You write a 20-line script that inspects the code for forbidden import patterns.
And if it finds one?
If it finds one, it exits with a non-zero status. The build fails. The AI is completely blocked from proceeding.
It hits the brick wall. Or take another really common one. Say you have a rule. No files over 300 lines.
Oh, that's a classic.
Right. Instead of begging the agent in a text file to keep files small, that becomes a literal file size check in your CI pipeline. If the agent tries to submit a file that is 301 lines, the system physically rejects it.
Period. No reasoning, no probability, just a wall.
A wall.
And if you have a rule saying don't hand edit generated code, you make a check that regenerates the code, runs a comparison like a git diff, and fails the build if even a single character was moved by hand.
I see. So instead of making done a vibe that the agent decides on, you make done a verifiable exit code.
Exactly. You remove the vibes entirely.
I want to share a personal anecdote the author included in the source material because, well, it highlights just how stubborn these models can be against plain text. And it perfectly illustrates this transition from prose to executable walls.
Oh, this is a great story. Go ahead.
So the author had this recurring annoyance where their AI agent kept asking to review its work. It kept ending its turns by saying, "Want me to walk you through the plan?"
Which is annoying if you just wanted to do the work.
Right. The author doesn't want to review long-form artifacts. The whole point of the agent is to just do the work autonomously. So they put a line in their global config file in plain English telling the agent to stop asking for reviews.
And the model ignored it, right?
Completely ignored it for weeks. And the underlying mechanism of why it ignored it is so fascinating. It is because of something called a prior.
Right, a prior. A prior is essentially a deeply ingrained bias from the AI's base training.
Like its factory setting.
Yeah, exactly. Before the AI even reads your markdown file, the labs that built it, using a process called reinforcement learning from human feedback, have aggressively trained it to be helpful, safe, and conversational.
Oh, so it physically wants to be polite.
Its mathematical weights heavily favor being polite and asking for permission.
So the agent's deeply ingrained mathematical desire to be polite literally overpowered the explicit text instruction not to ask.
It just bulldozed right through the text.
So how did the author finally fix it? They realized they couldn't fight probability with more text. They used what they call a stop hook.
Let's explain how a stop hook actually functions, because it is the ultimate executable wall.
Yeah, how does that work?
It is a deterministic piece of code that sits at the application layer completely outside the LLM. It monitors the raw text stream coming out of the AI.
Okay.
The author programmed this hook to look for specific phrases like "want me to." When the hook detects that pattern, it physically intercepts the output. It halts the generation and blocks the turn before it ever reaches the user interface.
Oh, wow. It physically reaches in and cuts the microphone.
That's exactly what it does.
And the result? It worked on day one. After weeks of the pros doing absolutely nothing, the exact same rule worked flawlessly.
Because it wasn't a suggestion anymore.
Right. The entire difference was whether a deterministic piece of code sat between the agent and the outcome. Pros proposes, hooks dispose.
Rose proposes, hooks dispose. It really should be the defining mantra of agentic engineering.
It's so catchy.
The instruction file can describe your intent all day long. But if a rule actually matters, if it is truly load-bearing, something other than the language model itself has to be the thing that makes it true.
We are definitely out of the sticky note room now. We are standing in the brick fortress.
Exactly. The AI agent can confidently run headfirst into that brick wall as many times as it wants, but nothing bad is ever going to reach the main project.
So at this point, if you are listening to this, you might be thinking, okay, I get it. I will build the brick walls, I will set up the automated CI checks, the file size limits, the stop hooks.
Sure, that makes sense.
But I am still going to keep all the text instructions in my agents.md file too. It's a belt and suspenders approach. It can't hurt to also write it down, right?
And that right there is the trap.
The trap.
Because keeping all that text doesn't just not help, it actively damages the AI's ability to function.
Wait, really? How does it damage it?
We have to talk about the danger of context pollution. This is a concept that a lot of developers struggle with because in traditional programming, adding more documentation is usually a good thing.
Yeah, more docs is better.
But with LLMs, context is not free.
Right, it's a fixed budget.
Yeah.
Every time you start a session with an agent, your instruction file is loaded into its context window. That context window represents a finite amount of attention.
Let's visualize this. Think about trying to navigate a sprawling, complex new city.
Okay, I'm with you.
If I give you a tourist map to help you find a specific restaurant.
And before you hand it to me, you take a neon highlighter and trace over literally every single street, every alleyway, every parking meter, and every fire hydrant.
Huh. Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow, I see it. You haven't made it easier for me to navigate. By emphasizing everything, you have emphasized nothing. The map is completely useless now.
The map is totally useless, and
Yeah.
you are just overwhelmed. That is exactly what happens with context pollution in AI.
That makes so much sense.
Every single sentence you add to an always-on root file is a sentence that is actively competing for the model's finite attention.
It's distracting it.
It is competing with the actual task you want it to do right now, and it is competing with every other rule in that file.
And the essay points out that this failure mode is heavily documented. If you have a 5,000-line root instruction file that is just stuffed with every historical architectural decision.
Or edge case you've ever
And
encountered.
every, you know, oh, and also remember that one time we had a bug with the database node? That file doesn't make the agent more careful.
Quite the opposite. It makes the agent significantly more likely to hallucinate or just lose the plot completely.
The attention mechanism dilutes its focus.
Yeah, the model will lose track of the three specific rules that actually matter for the current code change, because they are drowning in a sea of rules that are completely irrelevant to the task at hand.
And I imagine as these massive files accumulate over months or years, the rules inevitably start contradicting each other.
Oh, of course. You have a rule from January saying, "Always use this library," and a rule from August saying, "Never use that library."
And when an LLM encounters contradicting rules, it doesn't throw an error.
No, it doesn't. It is forced to guess which one should win based on probability.
But eliminating the agent's need to guess was the entire reason you wrote the file in the first place.
Exactly. It is a double whammy of a bad trade deal. When the agent misbehaves and you just add another rule to the pile, the new rule won't bind because it's just prose.
Right.
But worse, it actively dilutes the effectiveness of all the rules around it because it is more prose. You are literally spending your highly valuable context budget to buy enforcement that you didn't even get.
Wow. Okay, so this forces us to rethink our entire architecture.
It really does.
If we know that executable gates are the only things that enforce rules, and we know that stuffing our remaining text into a giant root file causes context pollution, well, where is the guidance supposed to go?
We can't just delete everything and leave the agent flying blind.
Right. The code base still has specific structures and conventions that the agent genuinely needs to know.
So we transition into what the source calls the structural solution. It's a layered approach to guidance.
Let's break this down.
You have to treat the always-on instruction file like a hot path in traditional software engineering. You only put the absolute most critical high-frequency information there.
The author breaks this down into five distinct layers, moving from the most global to the most specific. Let's walk through these because honestly, I think this is the blueprint for how AI workflows will be built going forward.
I agree. So at the very center, the closest to the agent's core attention, you have your global rules.
What goes in there?
This should be an incredibly short list of universal working habits. Things like your strict verification discipline, reminding it to rely on the executable walls, or specifically how you format your Git commits.
And notice what is not here. Repository architecture does not belong in the global rules.
Definitely not.
Okay, so then moving one layer out, we have the repo agent s.md file. If it's not a giant encyclopedia of the architecture, what is it?
The essay describes it as a routing map.
A routing map.
Yeah, it outlines the broad boundaries, the core terminal commands, and the definition of done. It tells the agent where to look rather than telling it everything it will find.
Precisely. It is an index. Then moving further out to the third layer, we get to module local files. This is such a brilliant structural shift.
Easy is.
These are the local exceptions and specific rules that live directly inside the folders they actually govern.
So if I have a folder for my front-end code and a folder for my back-end database, I put the database rules only in the database folder.
Yes. The beauty of this layer is that these rules are only loaded into the agent's context window when the agent is actually working in that specific subtree of the repository.
Oh, that's smart.
If the agent is tasked with changing a button on the front end, it doesn't need to read the back end's module local database rules. They just don't load. It saves massive amounts of context budget.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's exactly like lazy loading in web development.
Yes.
You don't load the heavy images on a website until the user scrolls down to see them. You don't load the AI context until the AI scrolls down into that specific folder.
Exactly. Okay, but what about the really complex multi-step procedures?
That brings us to the fourth layer, skills.
Skills. Okay.
These are the long, detailed runbooks. Let's say you have a highly specific 12-step process for running a database migration.
You definitely don't want that loaded all the time.
Right. Instead of keeping that document in the context window permanently, taking up space, it is stored externally. It is pulled in on demand.
It is progressive disclosure.
Yes, exactly. The agent hits a point where it realizes, I need to do a database migration. And it uses a tool to go fetch the specific skill document for that task.
This is the primary release valve that lets your always-on text stay incredibly short.
And finally, the fifth layer, the most immediate one, the task prompt.
The task prompt. So this is just the ticket you are handing the agent today.
Yep. The current goal, the scope of work, and the specific acceptance criteria for the immediate issue.
When you combine these five layers, you create an environment where the agent only ever sees exactly what it needs, exactly when it needs it.
It's beautifully efficient.
It is. So let me ask a probing question on behalf of you listening right now. When we sit down to write those top-level files, like the global rules or the main repo file, our natural instinct is to ask ourselves, what is true about this repository?
Yeah, we try to brain dump every truth we can think of.
Right. So based on this layered approach, what question should we actually be asking instead?
The only question that truly matters when writing a top-level instruction file is, what does an agent need in its context every single time for every single task?
That is a very high bar for entry.
It is. And that set of information is infinitesimally smaller than the set of all true things about the repo. If a piece of information doesn't pass that strict test, it must move outward.
It moves into a scoped module file, it becomes an on-demand skill, or best of all, it gets transformed into an executable gate in your CI pipeline.
Or it doesn't need to be in context at all because it is going to run automatically regardless.
I love this visual progression we've gone through. I want you to picture stepping out of that chaotic server room covered in thousands of colorful sticky notes. Instead, you are walking into a highly organized, pristine architectural firm.
Yeah, you are looking at a clean, multi-level blueprint. Everything has a place, and nothing is loaded into the AI's brain until it is strictly needed.
And that organization is what allows the agent to actually be effective. By reducing the noise, you amplify the signal of the instructions that truly matter.
Well said.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this deep dive in for a landing and summarize the golden rule we've uncovered today from the Agentic AI Thought series. It really boils down to four words.
Write less, enforce more.
Write less, enforce more.
That is the discipline. It runs completely opposite to most people's instincts. When an agent does something wrong, your move is almost never add a paragraph.
Stop trying to govern a fast, literal, amnesiac digital worker with politely worded suggestions. You just have to shrink the markdown and strengthen the executable gates.
If a rule is truly load-bearing, you build a check, a hook, a lint rule, an automated test.
And once you build that physical wall, you can delete the prose.
Yeah.
Because the wall is doing the physical work the words were failing to do.
Exactly. And if the rule is generally just guidance, you put it in the smallest, most scoped place possible, like a module local file, and keep the global file lean.
The prose gets to go back to doing what it's actually good at, providing orientation and intent, and stops pretending to be a fence it was never able to be.
And this ties perfectly into why having a single unified verification command is so critical. It becomes the ultimate gate.
Right.
The instruction file can be out of date, it can be poorly worded, or the probabilistic AI can just flat out ignore it. But the gate runs.
The gate always runs.
The gate doesn't care about context pressure or prior mathematical weights. The gate is the thing keeping your repository honest.
Which brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with today. It's an idea that builds on the essay's concluding point about the harness being the real product you were building.
Oh, this is a fascinating angle.
If the instruction file is really just a wish and the executable gate, the harness, the tests, the lint rules is the only thing actually keeping the project honest, what does that mean for the future of your career in software?
That's the million-dollar question.
Are we moving toward a world where development is entirely about engineering those gates? Instead of writing the underlying code yourself, are you destined to become an architect of automated boundaries, where your only job is building the impenetrable walls that the AI bounces off of while it writes the software for you?
It forces us to question our changing identity as engineers. We are moving away from being the ones laying the bricks and becoming the ones drawing the blueprints and stress testing the load-bearing walls.
It's a massive paradigm shift. And, well, it all starts with taking down those sticky notes. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Go clean up your instruction files, start building some walls, and we will catch you next time.